There's people that dreamed and had aspirations of being able to do this. This man earned the right. What you just saw was the head of the snake being severed. You have tried to poison the most elite fighting unit in the history of all professional sports. Somebody today earned their stripes. His name is Chris Benoit. Sullivan, Taskmaster, whatever you want to call yourself. Now we are truly at war. Bring on the troops, because if you look around, we are loaded for bear. So tell me you've been, but beware. This thing's in the sand without a care. And the dirt still stains me. So wash me until I'm clean. It grips you so hard.
It's June 16th, 1996. Metallica just released their sixth studio album, Load, to mixed reviews. For $4.22, you can see Jim Carrey rub his nipples against glass in The Cable Guy, and World Championship Wrestling turns up the heat. We are the Federation. I'm Tyler Fudge.
And I'm Travis Fudge.
This is episode 150. I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I think it's 150. I put 149, but I think that No Holds Barred was 149. And this probably is 150.
Milestone
that we didn't even know was here. but we are here to talk about the Great American Bash 1996. This was a much better show than the WCW shows of prior.
A fantastic show, actually. And I'm going to have to mention that you mentioning Metallica's Load.
Yes.
Around the same time as this.
It is our intro. What song is it from?
Oh, good Lord.
The one that's on the radio all the time. I can't remember what the name is.
Until It Sleeps, I assume.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know. Really? Whatever yeah. It is, we'll find out.
Common Blood, Metallica and Makeup.
There you go. There you go. Fair enough. Covers. Kiss lost it. Metallica gained it.
Yeah.
So this is the point in time where I shout out to all of our Patreon subscribers. You can subscribe to the Federation. Any donation gets you a shout out on the show. And first off, Dallas Ellingsworth. Ty Loney. Chris Savage. Christopher Spaulding. Viva LeJady. And Big Body Sam, which we haven't actually recorded since he donated. And I gave him a little thank you into the what was our Christmas episode? A No Holds Barred Christmas. That just a quick little ditty. This is Travis's turn to say thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
And you can get a shout out on the show also if you retweet our pinned tweet. We got Fudging Up 333, Bobby Anthem, Caleb Morganfield, Dallas Ellingsworth, Fat Superman, and SCL. Not very many retweets. I don't know what if you guys took off Christmas, but motherfuckers.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
You know, if you decided to look over it with all the other Christmas offerings in the podcast world, then I'd highly recommend to go check out No Holds Barred. It's not 5.5 hours long.
That's true.
It's us doing our thing.
Us doing our thing.
And I mean, our Christmas episodes are always fucking great. So if you decide to look it over.
Every episode is great, Travis.
Just check it out.
but also, you can check me out on SCL. This weekend, we will be covering Wrestle Kingdom 13. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a fun little ditty. Me and Travis are going to be watching it tomorrow afternoon. So
yeah.
I'll be boycotting all social media.
Yeah, I will be as well. I will be as well.
Not going to catch me, man. You're not going to fuck me over.
Nah, this is a pretty big show. I'm looking forward to it. And
yeah.
The more surprises that I have going into it, the more enjoyable it will be.
I agree. So, Travis, very little news this time around. I guess June was a slow month. But Akira Hokuto is supposed to wrestle Bull Nakano on an episode of Nitro, June 3rd. Turns out to be Medusa beating Nakano in a match. It was well, or apparently it was hyped. But I mean, WCW is never known for their you know, follow through. But the Road Warriors officially quit the promotion on May 28th. It was the same, basically, they found out what Hall and Nash were making. They demanded to be making the same amount, and they said no, and, well, they quit. That's...
Yeah, because the Road Warriors are definitely on the same level of Hall and Nash as to the amount of exposure that they're about to get, you know?
Yeah.
I think WCW at their boom period, I think the Road Warriors.
Yes. And you look at it too, I get where they're coming from because they're a tag team coming in, but they're more than just a tag team. They're going to be the main focus of the show.
One of them was the longest reigning WWF champion in history at that point.
Who?
Kevin Nash.
Seriously?
At that point, he was in modern day history, since like Bruno.
Okay.
He held it for a year.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Hogan didn't hold it for a year?
Like that modern era, man. Not like, yeah.
Okay, okay. We're talking about like for like the 4 years prior.
Well, yeah, up until like Hogan was gone. You know, he held it longer than Brett or Shawn ever held it or anything.
I get you. Fair enough.
I could have chosen my words better, okay? I could have chosen my words way better.
I was like...
But I got real vague with it.
Real vague. Is he talking about Hogan? Hogan's
no.
Not even a part of it yet.
No.
The original plans for this pay-per-view had Diamond Dallas Page taking on Great Muta and Booty Man taking on Hugh Morris. But they then changed it to Page taking on Booty Man. And then switched it to this that we got DDP taking on. I don't even remember who he took on.
Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Oh, Buff Bagwell, yes.
And DDP versus Great Muta sounds very interesting, but I'm very okay with them not doing Booty Man versus DDP once again.
Yeah. New Japan decided to pull Muta from the show. Because they didn't want him jobbing to a guy like DDP. That was their they thought he was a prelim wrestler, and just they weren't having any of it. So
fair enough. They also really wanted that ring on Muta.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, it's the most illustrious prize in wrestling. The ring. One fucking ring to rule them all.
And DDP will find them. Oh.
Bro.
Dick Murdoch passed away on June 15th after a heart attack. I'd go deeper into this, but I'm not shedding light on an alleged member of the Ku Klux Klan. Hope it burns in hell. Fuck it.
Who was also Dusty Rhodes' old partner? But let's just say that.
Yes.
Because they mentioned it on the broadcast. He died a day before this show.
Yes, and Dusty is on commentary. Doesn't seem phased at all.
He mentions it. He doesn't say a bad word about him, but he doesn't say a good word about him either.
No, and then you got Dusty with, he's always been associated with African American culture, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's because the Southern, all of that. It's just weird contrast when you look back at it.
Fun little fact: if you ever watched the original The Wrestler film,
from
1974,
Vern Gagne,
yeah, based on Vern Gagne, Dick Murdoch is in that movie quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I would like to watch that one of these days. I would. I've never seen it.
It's pretty bad. If you like Vern Gagne, I mean, hey, all to you. He's a young and up and coming baby face who's balding,
like,
and he looks
76?
Like he's 74. But he looks like he's 50.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
the up and coming baby face. Oh, that's, man, that's fucking bad.
That's Vern Gagne, ladies and gentlemen. Travis, since we last spoke, two major debuts happened in WCW between WCW, whatever the show was prior, and to the Great American Bash. I can't remember. What was the last? It was so bad. Super Bowl?
Slamboree.
It was such a bad show.
The Lethal Lottery.
I have erased that whole show from my memory.
Yeah, the only good part about that show, it would have been that angle. The angle that happened between Flair and Mongo or Macho Man or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was pretty much the same placeholder for tonight's angle with the Outsiders and Bischoff. They always have, like, a 10-minute angle. That's
the
pretty big.
To take place on the ramp, basically.
Yeah.
Then they would soon fill. Are the Nitro girls on Nitro at this point in time?
No.
So we might as well get into their interactions on WCW television at this point in time. So you had, because you know Tony Schiavone has commentated throughout the show that there's a takeover going on. You know it's prevalent. It starts pretty hard and heavy. Essentially, the whole angle does. So you had Hall, Kevin Nash. He returned to WCW on June 10th edition of Nitro. Sullivan on his kayfabe shoot commentaries also confirmed that or alleges that Shawn Michaels was offered a contract with WCW at the time as well, but he turned it down.
It's a long-standing rumor, yeah.
Yeah. Sullivan also mentions the WWF lawsuit against WCW for using Hall and Nash, and basically just sued for likeness of character. It's the forefront reason why the promo starts the way it does later on in the show, so...
Yeah, I know what you're alluding to. Yeah, but, you know, you got to look at WWE also because he is blatantly using the Razor Ramon character. He is not Scott Hall at this point. He is Razor Ramon.
Mang.
So when you watch the night that Scott debuts, which is the night after Slamboree, the first 2-hour Nitro, he is full on alluding to WWF is doing a legit hostile takeover, you know, like make of it what you will, whether they're working together in cahoots doing this together, WWF and WCW, but that is exactly what they're alluding to. Like they're not acting like contracted WCW wrestlers because they're coming through the crowd, even on the Great American Bash, they're coming through the entranceway. Like they're totally taking that like layer and facet of this storyline out.
Yeah.
And good reason. I mean,
Yeah,
they're
no,
gonna
definitely
lose a shit ton of money.
Hasn't been a secret in the wrestling business that Vince filed a lawsuit against WCW. They obviously had to. There's no reason why they wouldn't. It is pretty blatant what they're doing. The fans even start chanting Diesel.
Yeah, like, oh yeah.
Heavily.
Big Daddy Cool signs, you know.
Because they haven't called them anything else. Because they haven't, at this point in time, they haven't called them Scott Hall or Kevin Nash.
Nope, they don't have names.
No. So let's dig into the week-by-week ratings here of their debut. You had the May 27th debut with Hall, which you know, what was the match that he was in?
Mike Enos
and the Mauler.
The Mauler, okay.
Or, well, maybe Mike Enos was the Mauler.
I have no idea.
And Steve
Dahl. Okay.
That's
Mauler, Steve Dahl. That sounds like a...
Mike Enos was the Mauler.
Okay.
And Steve Dahl was the other guy. Mike Enos was the guy with the chaps. The short hair and the... Is that Mike Enos?
Who fucking cares?
Who even cares? But that did a 2-point...
I just remember that they looked visibly upset.
Yeah. They obviously didn't know. WCW got a 2.8 rating. WWF got a 2.3 rating. This was the second week in a row that WCW beat WWF. June 3rd, there was another altercation with Scott Hall and Sting, where they got into a little bit of fisticuffs, blah, blah, blah. Sting and Luger were taking on Steiners in the main event. WCW did a 3.0 to WWF's 2.3. So there's a visible difference. He went from 2.8 to a 3 just after Scott Hall coming. June 10th, this is when Kevin Nash debuts, and they did a 2.6 compared to WWF's 2.7. So WWF will beat them. Now, Travis, first I want to say the Mauler, that match that he had that got interrupted, that was his debut. That's why he's probably so upset.
That was Mike Enos' debut?
As the Mauler, yes.
Oh, boy.
Or yeah, whoever was the Mauler. Because
they looked fucking visibly upset.
Yeah.
And it was very smart of them next week to save Scott Hall's appearance for the very end of the show.
Yeah.
Like, it was genius.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm surprised because he advertised Kevin Nash to show up that week for next week. So for that show.
Like, he didn't say...
He said he's got a big surprise.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're in the loop, obviously you knew. But yeah. Still, he advertised one extra of his three guys he was teasing.
It's not like nobody knew he was coming.
They knew that there was going to be a surprise.
Yeah, and
so
and
the fact that they lost. Well, the fact that they lost to the WWF that week when they knew that there was going to be a new reveal of a new WWF guy. And... Yeah. That it was fucking Kevin Nash and that it was advertised. I don't know. I just can't believe that they lost that week.
Yeah.
But ratings aren't that big of a fucking
deal. It's not that big of a deal. And we'll get into the WWF side next week in 2 weeks when we do King of the Ring 96. And we'll see. Maybe there was a big reason why they lost the ratings there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Travis, this loss to the WWF would be the WWF's last time they would beat WCW in the ratings until April 3rd, 1998.
Vince versus Austin.
Vince versus Austin happens then. And then, you know, the WCW, you know, NWO literally. There's two members of the NWO, and that's when it just, okay, bye.
I don't know. You could feel on this show that there's a change on the horizon.
There is. There's already a change. There is already a change.
Yeah, yeah. There is no other WCW show that we've reviewed that feels like this show.
No.
This show feels like they're on the cusp of something.
I agree. Big. I agree. It's
everything's clicking.
Yeah.
Like 98, 90% of everything's clicking.
I would say that this is probably the best WCW pay-per-view they had done of the 90s.
Probably since the Crockett era.
Yeah, least the 90s, for sure. Since the Turner era, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the best show.
Definitely.
But you can say since they changed the name, really. But, you know, that's enough about the ratings, enough about the goings-on behind the scenes. Let's just jump right into the show, WCW Great American Bash 1996.
Superstars of World Championship Wrestling.
Keeps going and going and going and going. Tony Schiavone, everybody. The commentary is obviously the best part of this. Not the best. I can't say that. I'm going into that too bad. The commentary is one of the many highlights of the show.
And it's a reason that makes this show so good.
Yep.
Like, if you have bad commentary, it's noticeable. If you have good commentary, it's not very noticeable.
No.
But if you've got Dusty Rhodes and Tony Schiavone
alone,
it's not great, but it's not bad by no means.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's enjoyable. It's entertaining. It's not thorough calling because Dusty Rhodes is very polarizing when it comes to his vernacular and how he chooses to express it.
Ambulance.
Oh my god. We'll get into
all of that. But Travis, it's Baltimore, Maryland. Like Tony Schiavone said, we're in the Baltimore Arena. There's 9,000 fans on hand. We have a 0.48 pay-per-view buy rate. Now, Travis, let's play this game again. I wonder if you'll get it somewhat close. What is the buy rate for this pay-per-view?
194,000.
170. You know what, Travis? You've done this is the closest you've done in a long time.
Yeah.
Because you've had some abysmal ones. Like you're saying like 300,000, 250 when like we were just talking that they hadn't done a show over 100. Like, it was madness. You did it, man. You did it.
I still wouldn't win the Price is Right, but
no, hey. You went over. That's true. They started off with a video highlight of matches for tonight. They have
great video package.
It was a great video.
With the speech.
Yeah.
Like sound bites and stuff. Yep. You know,
where they're just talking back and forth and just the Mean Gene. Like, how do we talk about this episode so far?
Yeah,
and not say goodbye.
Yeah,
to Mean Gene, my man, Mean Gene. Oh,
and he's all over this show.
He is.
I watched half of the show prior to him passing.
Yeah.
And then I watched the other half. Yeah, you know. And, fuck. He's everywhere. It's hard to not notice Mean Gene. He's everywhere. And it's not like he's overexposed because he's the fucking best one for the job.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I don't know if you've got a good person doing that job, you can't really be overexposed, especially if you've got good characters to have with them. It's not like it's the bland wrestling of today where this interviewer is going to be interviewing Seth Rollins with no character. It's going to interview Natalya with no character. They all sound the same. At least here, you got Giant sounds completely different than, let's say, Flair. Flair sounds completely different to Kevin Sullivan, no matter how bad it is. You know, they're all different.
And I think a big deal about it, too, is that you have an announcer or an interviewer who is already over.
Yeah.
He's over.
He's trusted, too.
It's not like you got fucking, I don't know, who's an interviewer? Dasha?
Oh, yeah. Dasha's one of them.
She's not over. Renee Young was never over.
No. No.
Trusted, sure, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I guess you could say trusted, but...
But not over.
No.
Mean Gene is over. Yeah. Like, it's great.
He's more over than a lot of guys.
Yeah, and it makes the interviews great.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're excited to see Mean Gene also, you know what I mean? Because he entertains you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, not to, yeah...
Like with the Hooters girls last month.
Oh, yeah.
On Slamboree.
He's always got something with woman and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Right?
He's got stuff with. He's got little sides of his character that he throws. And, you know, it's probably just his underlying perviness. But, you know, it's just Mean Gene was always a spirit animal of mine. And he'll continue to be a spirit animal guidance through life without liver transplants. Rest in peace, Mean Gene. Kidney. Yes. Yeah, I suppose really you can't do a liver. Can you do a liver transplant?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Don't take our word for it.
God, no. You cut to the national anthem, and we have the camera
focus. Done by Craig Pittman. Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Oh, I was thinking it was a Ranger Ross wannabe.
Nope. That was Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Why? Like, my question is, why do they wear, or why do they hold the flag in the most uncomfortable way possible?
It looked like he was jabbing it right in his fucking
dick hole. Like he was trying to take it out, pull it out. It's like, oh, it just got his arm cocked in such a weird way.
I know. It looked like a Dave Meltzer handshake.
Oh, yeah, that awkward stuff. You got, if anybody knows anything about military stuff, I don't. Can you tell us why they hold this?
Yeah.
That way?
You know, it would kind of save us the confusion
of
this whole scenario. Us Canadian.
Wondering why you guys do everything ass backwards.
Yeah.
And we by put, everything, I
we
mean.
We put milk in bags.
I haven't seen a bagged milk in ages.
I've never seen one in my fucking life.
I remember some of our neighbors having bagged milk. Just had the jug and you put the bag in it. But I haven't seen
it. It's like
seen
buying a goldfish from the pet store. And you got to keep it in the bag before you release him into the wild aquarium.
The wild jug.
The wild Rubbermaid.
Yeah.
Whoa!
With some colorful rocks and maybe a tree if he's lucky.
If he's lucky. Maybe a light.
Yeah. Then we get our first look at the announcers tonight. And Dusty is still wearing his Chesterfield jacket.
What a fucking eyesore. Yes. I love when he takes it off later, though, and it looks like he is literally going to leave here to fucking do someone's fucking pipes.
the shirt fucking tucked in. Yeah, no, he's pretty ready. He's pretty ready. He's ready to get his elbows full of shit. That's for sure. But you know, he had some dark matches tonight. You know, I'm so glad I wasn't at this show. Which a guy on Twitter mentioned to me that he was on Twitter. He was obviously on Twitter, but he was at this show as a kid, and he remembered rushing to the bathroom when the security didn't stop anybody from going into the washroom to see all this.
A fucking woman ran in.
Yeah.
And Dusty Rhodes.
Oh,
that's a woman. A woman's in the man's washroom.
The man's down. Oh, man.
Rich. Just it rich. Was.
So you had Rocco Rock. He beat Jerry Sags. VK Wall Street. He beat Jim Powers. And then Jim Duggan beat Disco Inferno.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What a fucking pre-show. Can you imagine having to sit through all that?
I hope Rocco Rock fell through like three tables.
He might have. Who knows, man?
Save up for the fucking VK Wall Street and Jim Powers? Oh, my God.
That just sounds like a whole bunch of no. That's what that sounds like. Our first match of the evening, though, that was on the pay-per-view was Fire and Ice taking on the Steiner Brothers.
Hey, you know, you give me a Scott Norton match, and I'll fucking watch it.
I agree.
Scott Norton, and, it goes without saying, the Steiner Brothers are still pretty damn good.
Yeah, they're still a fun team to watch, that's for sure.
And Ice Train is just nothing to be seen without him entering by himself with his own theme song, because it's like a Crash Bandicoot song.
I know the theme
song. It's amazing.
It is. It is. That's with the fucking choo-choo. It's a fantastic fucking theme.
Amazing.
It is. These four have been having matches for weeks now. And nobody really getting the upper hand. So the stip is there has to be a winner in this match.
Tyler, I watched all the Nitros, as I always do,
yeah,
leading up to the show. And I think it might have been on the show that Sting and Scott Hall had the confrontation.
Okay, yeah.
Scott Norton wrestled the Giant for the WCW World Heavyweight title in the middle of the show.
That's odd.
No build up, and it was a squash match. Like, Scott Norton got the piss beat out of him by the Giant.
I left New Japan for this.
And it was way better than Lex Luger and the Giant. Because Scott Norton, he was bumping.
Oh, yeah, for the Giant. I bet he was. I bet he was.
Fantastic shit. Like,
I bet he was. Yeah, no, I can't imagine. That just seems so odd. It seems like a match you'd only see on, like, your video game.
Middle of the show, too. Like,
it's weird. Who the fuck booked that? Kevin Sullivan was booking at this point in time. That's legit. This is the last show that Kevin Sullivan will do before stepping. Like, he's got to, if he's going to book, they made the decision that he can't be an active wrestler or part of the show if he wants to stay on the booking committee.
Oh.
So this is his send-off, and this is his last hurrah, which would explain his 2-minute fucking promo that he cut. Oh man, it's such a somber, slow, fucking boring promo.
You'll hear that.
You love that?
I love Kevin Sullivan's promos.
Oh, my God. Oh, you just like, you're weird.
I don't know. He's talking about, like, what was he talking about? Weasels and fucking, I don't know, like.
It's just so slow. I just feel like an old man is telling me a story.
I don't know. I've been watching these Nitros. I saw that match with him and Benoit.
Yeah.
I think I'm, like, becoming a fan of Kevin Sullivan.
Hey, man.
I never thought that would happen.
There's worse wrestlers to be a fan of.
He's
that's
just,
for sure.
He's just a real motherfucker, you know? Yeah, it's like watching Ronnie Garvin wrestle.
Yeah, I guess.
Only if Ronnie Garvin ended up, you know, kind of delving into the Manson cult a couple times.
That's fair. I mean, he's a weird cat, that's for sure. But to me, the greatest thing about this match is that these two teams are just unbelievable powerhouses, and they're telling the story that, you know, it's making it really believable that Norton and Ice Train can keep up with the Steiners. You know, like, with the whole story going on, they're really selling Norton and Ice Train as a legitimate team.
Oh yeah, they're more shown than a lot of teams in WCW.
Yeah, well, we've seen them two episodes in a row.
But they're a homegrown WCW team. Like they, yeah. they were. This was never outside of WCW.
No.
So maybe they're pretty proud that they found two big guys to put together, and it's like, oh wow, this is pretty cool. My favorite parts of this match would have easily have been Dusty's commentary, and I don't think I should get into them because I'm pretty sure.
Go for it. No.
Okay, well, if they are in art of commentary, the one line where he says that he has realized the two teams have felt each other up and they are in mortal combat with each other.
It's not there. No.
Okay, that's a good one. I love
it
that
really
one.
Good.
And the absolute I loved it. Cody Rhodes had to have bought Mortal Kombat a couple years before. He's like, oh wow, these are like my matches back in 85, baby.
Spit blood.
And my favorite one, this was an abomination. He talks about getting hit in your elbow and how it throws off your equilibrium.
Just for a second, though, and then you get back.
Yeah. And then he asks Tony if he's ever been hit on his elbow, and he says no. And, I mean, this is all a preposterous exchange because Tony Schiavone's never heard his funny bone before.
Apparently.
Like, well, what the fuck was that? And I'm talking about Dusty saying that you lose your equilibrium. Like, I've never lost my equilibrium.
He doesn't even say it right.
No, he does.
You'll hear it in our commentary because it's there. The whole shebang. It's all there. He says equilibrium. Something like that, anyways.
Equilibrium.
Norton, he does a great shoulder break. Actually, before I get into that, I had something else I wanted to say. Tony probably says no to the elbow bit because he probably just doesn't want to get Dusty to go off on you. He probably just wants Dusty to stop, right? Like, yeah. Stop talking about the elbow. This is stupid enough as it is. I'm just going to stop this conversation. And it just goes the complete fucking ass.
It's like Jim Ross with Paulie Dangerously in about 89, 90, right?
Yeah. Just
where he's
try
about
to stop
go off
him,
on a tangent. Yeah.
But Norton hits a shoulder breaker into the knee, that whatever that was. It was like a power bomb.
That's called a shoulder breaker.
Okay, fair enough. It looked fantastic. I'd never seen anybody do that before.
Benoit used to do it, but inverted. Like, he'd go up for like a tombstone, but he'd...
Oh, yeah. But this was almost like he power bombed him onto his knee.
Yeah, yeah. I remember from the games, because Scott Norton always used to be the guy who used to play, one of the guys, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I didn't watch a lot of WCW. I was never I was watching it for the NWO stuff, but everything aside from it, I didn't really care. The Cruiserweight stuff I liked.
Yeah.
But the others, like DDP, I never did like DDP. I still don't like DDP.
Really?
No, I never liked anything he ever did, really.
I've always liked him.
His best thing he ever did was yoga, in my opinion. But.
Well, you know, as we talked about in this timeline, or prior to doing it, that we'll see.
Yeah.
What it's like now.
Yeah, and maybe I will like DDP
because DDP was, besides for Goldberg, the only true
homegrown
talent from the bottom up. And he gets big in the next year because, hey, I popped on Great American Bash 97 and he's wrestling Randy Savage in one of the co-main events in a False Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, I remember that match.
Well, that whole feud was...
That was a long feud. It was a big feud. The United States title, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's get back into this match because we haven't really... We delved off on so many tangents on this one. Rick gets a blind tag to his brother, starts cleaning house. And by the end of the match, Norton did look a little bit gassed. He wasn't really doing much. There wasn't anything behind his punches or his clotheslines or anything like that.
Yeah, well, this isn't him at his best either.
No.
He's just a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And, he also knocked Scott Loopy, too.
Oh, did he?
Would
it be with a clothesline or?
No, he T-bone suplexed Scott at one point, and he dropped him flat on his head.
Yes, and he just rolls outside.
He rolled outside, and Scott was, kind of shaking his head.
Yep.
Like, you know, it could all be chalked up to selling, but
it could be
when you get dropped on your head like that. Fuck.
Yeah.
That was direct.
I've never been dropped on my head, so I don't know, but I will say that it looked like it hurt.
It
really did. Scott goes for the finish, which is a Frankensteiner, which Norton completely botches. He really did. He really fucked that up.
And then Ice Train was pinning down Rick Steiner
under the ropes.
What the fuck?
Oh, man. And that was also a botched clothesline because they were too close to the guys. And, yeah, that would...
It was clunky. It was clunky, but it was an interesting match to watch.
The first part of the match wasn't that clunky. The end, though, it really did fall apart.
Well, Ice Train's not a very good wrestler either.
No, he's not. He's just a theme. Yeah. I don't know why they come after anything but his theme. I really don't.
It should be.
I really don't.
But I love how Scott is fire. Yeah. It should be Flash and Ice.
Flash and Ice. Black. No, Black Ice wouldn't work. I don't know. Either way. Shit just went quiet for a bit.
I really didn't know how to respond.
Travis, here's your favorite promo, though. Stu Hart. Fucking.
Close. Kevin Sullivan.
Mean Gene is with Kevin Sullivan, and here we go.
Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, you Nathan Lane wannabe, Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. Now, later tonight, you're going to be
never
facing
catch
Chris
that.
Benoit.
You didn't?
I'm going to talk to you on that subject in a moment, but did you see young Benoit? He's very, very, I would say, angry.
You know, Taskmaster, tonight's tonight. We have the WCW Heavyweight Champion of the World in the Dungeon of Doom. You're taking on Chris Benoit. We don't need the Four Horsemen. We don't need anything or anybody.
Oh, wait a minute now. Falls are going to count anywhere, as I understand it. Is that correct, Sullivan?
Falls count anywhere in the building, but this isn't it.
They can anywhere.
Jimmy, this is not between the Dungeon and the Horsemen. This is between myself, Ric Flair, and Arn Anderson. You see, I got rid of the last horseman and showed him that Pillman was a quitter. Benoit's no quitter, but he's no horseman. I know what makes a horseman tick. Arn Anderson stuck out his hand. He made a deal. And Arn, this one is for you. When I drag Benoit through this building... And I make him
Who's
suffer.
Who's laughing in the back?
Jimmy
I'm
Hart.
I'm
going
to lean over. Keep
your hands off me.
And I'm going to lay something on you, Benoit.
Fuck yeah,
the
me,
same
G.
same thing I laid on Pillman was a left. And I'm going to show the horsemen, especially Arn and Rick, that they can count on the Dungeon of Doom.
Thank you. Very succinct. Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan. Right now, let's get you back up to the ring. And David Penzer.
Very succinct.
I really don't understand what's wrong with that promo.
I
can understand. He has an old man voice.
Like, just the way he says everything. I don't know. To me, it's really funny. Like, I can't take him seriously.
It's animated. I mean, you can't take him seriously because he's the leader of the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, that's true.
Wanted to earn Hogan's trust, so I made a heel team for him to beat everybody in.
There's something about the promos that I just don't get. But the Nathan Lane wannabe bit is the highlight of this.
Don't touch me.
Don't get your hands off me.
The feud leading up is good. I mean, Anderson and Sullivan have had this weird whole cahoots thing since the whole Pillman feud since February. Because Arn didn't like Pillman, or he didn't like the disrespect he was giving him. So now it's like Sullivan's the kind of guy that's like, I know who's the right horseman. So if my intuition's clicking, then I'm going to fucking beat the shit out of your fucking rogue horseman.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, I'm sure the story's great. I don't know much about the story. It's very, very loose if you're watching the pay-per-view by pay-per-view.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say this. Conan taking on Elgato.
Fuck this.
This match was something else. Travis, do you know who Elgato is?
No.
Pat Tanaka. Double blink.
Are you fucking serious?
It is Pat Tanaka.
He's not even Mexican?
No. I just clued into the fact that El Gato is more of a Mexican thing.
Yeah, that is Spanish.
Yeah. It's not. I was just like, oh, it's supposed to be a masked Japanese guy.
And no!
When you said he's not even Mexican, it's just like my mind blew. It's like, holy shit. What?
And you know what I thought going into this? I just figured, okay, so Conan hasn't had a good match on pay-per-view since we've watched this show. So God knows how long this phase has been going on for. So they got a guy from AAA to have a good match with him. That's before I saw the match. Conan's the Mexican heavyweight champion. He is the champion of the entire country of Mexico.
Yes.
And I figured they were bringing in number two in Mexico that's not Pero Aguayo or Hector Garza. I'm not very keen on Lucha Libre. I'm sorry.
But they brought in Pat. Fucking
referee of Micro Championship Wrestling.
Yes, yes. One half of the Orient Express.
Oh, God. This makes this match so much better. I thank God that you knew that fucking tidbit. Wow. Holy. Oh.
So at this point in time, Dusty makes fun of Tony for not being able to get Feather in the cap out of his mouth. And it's kind of the pot calling the kettle black, but I mean, whatever. I'll take Dusty fucking roasting Tony Schiavone all day long. But I thought myself that this match could have been a lot worse.
Sure.
But mind you, my head going into it, I knew it was Pat Tanaka. So I was just expecting nothing, right? My expectations were like fucking
mine weren't high. I realize what Conan has to offer nowadays. Yeah. But I thought that this could have been fun.
Yeah, and you know,
Eddie Guerrero and Conan is still the best Conan match I've seen.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Like in my head, I feel like Conan gets better when he starts wearing khakis, but I don't think that's true.
That's the opposite. I think that's when he lets himself go a bit. It's
probably because he wears the T-shirt, gets the belly a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's
maybe
see.
We'll do a AAA when Worlds Collide review someday to see if we can get Conan's redemption, because now he's kind of on the level of Rikishi.
I agree. I loathe seeing him here. Conan hits a slow sunset flip powerbomb onto the outside,
a rolling powerbomb.
Well, yeah, I suppose he doesn't sit out or nothing like that. He Irish whips Pat Tanaka into the turnbuckle, hits an Alabama slam, and then flips over him for the pin and gets the win.
Yeah.
That's about it. Conan then leaves as fast as humanly possible without any fanfare and without his titles. He's just pieces out. I got some weed to smoke, boys. I'll see you later. You
fuck
got my titles?
Being champion of Mexico and America.
I'm not even Mexican.
Oh, God. Thank God that this promo is next, though.
Oh, this
what
was
a gem.
This was something else. I was shocked when I heard this. I was like, this is where this feud is going?
This is not what was going on Nitro.
No, no.
Not from what I recall, man. Maybe I skimmed over it playing Smash Bros., but like, fuck, I don't know.
So here is the Sting promo to hype up his match against Lord William Steven Regal.
Coming up, we know the background between you and Lord Steven Regal. This guy, to me, kind of comes off as somewhat of a sissy or a prissy, but we know better than that. Looks are deceiving, and his actions are a little deceiving. This man could be one mean son of a gun, as they say.
You're trying to stir it up a little bit, aren't you, Mean Gene? You don't have to stir
this
the
promo
stinger
is all
up
innuendo.
When you say he's a little
like,
prissy,
it's just like Warrior
and
Gold
Dust. I got to wonder myself, because he's talking about the stinger painting up nice and pretty. Well, your lordship, you also drink tea like this, don't you? That little pinky out like that. I gotta wonder about you myself. Is that the way they breed the boys over there in England? Let me just square something up with you right now. That ain't the way we breed American men here in the United States. And that's exactly where you are on U.S. turf, U.S. soil. You can take...
Coke
God,
drop.
I can't say that. I just can't say that. Mean Gene, we're on
Coke
TV.
Drop. Coke drip. Fucking boom. Like whoa.
God damn!
Russell actually is a youngster in the sand pits of India. We know what he's done here at World Championship
sand
Wrestling. I think you got your work cut out for you, quite honestly.
I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm not saying he's not a fantastic wrestler. I'm just saying he's a little iffy. I'm not too sure about him. And if there's anybody that can straighten you out in the course of 10, 20, maybe 30 minutes, it's a stinger, I guarantee you.
Maybe I was a little too strong when I said he's kind of a prissy. Well, whatever.
Sting's going to straighten him out.
Yep.
In the course of 10, 20, 30 minutes. I don't know how fast I'll come. Because Travis... Because Sting doesn't know when he's going to come, right? All he does know is,
I'm coming hard! I'm coming heavy!
I was hoping that you'd get that. I was so hoping you'd get that. Fucking Kevin Green. What? Highlight.
He's gonna be
show.
Immortalized in this show forever because I'm keeping that sound bit for every episode.
It's just like
heavy.
That Magnum TA one too.
Yeah, I'm gonna come on you like you've never been come on before.
Need a compilation of this, like of all of the
all the cums. I was thinking about it because Dusty says cum a lot in this episode, and I was gonna put all the cums together, but. We wouldn't have recorded until by 10 o'clock tonight if I did that.
So, the Lord of the Ring match, Tyler.
Yeah, it's Battle for the Ring.
One ring to rule them all.
And one ring to find them.
You got...
I don't know anything else.
I don't know.
The only parts I know is from Clerks 2.
Yeah, me too.
That's it. That's all I know about Lord of the Rings. I don't know anything else. Bagwell comes out dressed like a stripper, though.
Yeah, pillow pants.
Yeah, he probably just left his set at the Larry Flynn Hustler Club in Baltimore. That's an actual strip club. Thank you very much.
I bet you Tara Green fluffs him.
She could. I don't know who Tara Green. Oh, Kevin Green's wife. Could be. Maybe it's Kevin Green. You know, maybe he was thinking about Buff. Maybe that's what Buff Bagwell did. He's coming hard and he's coming fast. That's what he said. When Tara Green was fluffing him, right? He starts getting over it because he's like, oh no, she's going to get cum on her sweater, right? And so just this time happened, when he knew he was going to come, he said this.
I'm coming hard. I'm coming heavy.
Oh. I don't know what else to say in this match.
They came hard and they came heavy.
They did. They did. They definitely came heavy.
Oh, God. At least you get the American Males theme song.
That's true.
Oh, God. Fuck, dude. DDP wins with the Diamond Cutter. What else do you want to say?
All I will say is there were some moments in this match where I was sure this match was not going to end without one of them being hurt. So, oh, man.
Oh, God.
I'm so fucking teary. I cried.
I did love seeing Randy Anderson award DDP a ring post-match celebration. Like, here you go, sir.
Here's your ring.
Perched up with the three with the three fingers. Yeah. Here you go. I wish he would have bowed down to one knee
and bowed his head.
That's what he should have done. Oh, man. If only it was Brian Hildebrand that gave him the ring. Brian Hildebrand's that one with the mustache and the goofy fucking mullet hair. Oh, man. Fuck. What a haircut. He's up next, actually, in the next match.
He's all over this show.
Yeah, he is. Mean Gene is with the Giant and what's his name?
Jimmy Hart,
thank you
very
much.
The most worked man in this show. Well, every second segment, it's either Jimmy Hart or Mean Gene.
Yeah.
In everything.
Which is weird why the Nathan Lane wannabe, you know what I mean? But I don't know, it's just so odd that like the one time he comes out, Mean Gene gives him a jab and the next time he doesn't. But probably just like some hidden meaning behind the Lane.
Maybe
comment.
He really likes musicals.
Maybe.
Or maybe Nathan
Hart
Lane
musicals.
Really likes eating those fucking beans, Danny.
Oh, fuck. I was going to insert the Giants promo, but it's not worth it. It's really not.
Not very. Well,
it's really slow.
I wrote
again.
Down here that he cut an okay promo.
Yeah. No, I will say there's nothing wrong with it. But it's not going. It's going to pale in comparison to the auto kill clips that we have played.
Yeah,
in the
yeah.
Last 5 minutes.
It's like putting Sting and Regal in between Sullivan yeah. and Benoit and fucking the big Gridiron Gang Legends of the Ring match.
Legends of the Iron Gridiron.
Fuck's sakes, Michael Buffer.
He did nothing wrong in this one though.
I just did not need to see him two matches in a row.
That's fair. I agree. Our next match, Travis. Dean Malenko taking on Rey Mysterio Jr. for the WCW Cruiserweight title match. This is Rey Mysterio's debut? Like, completely in WCW?
Yeah.
How did they build this on TV? Did they build
Vignettes.
It at all? Okay.
Of him wrestling in AAA.
Okay.
They do not mention it's AAA whatsoever. The only way that I know is with the big Corona sponsor on
that's
the
fair.
Canvas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's AAA.
And yeah, just a shit ton of that. And yeah, they're advertising him as the human highlight reel and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, they do that a lot on Nitro now that they got the 2 hours. They do a lot of video packages okay. of random
they're
wrestlers.
They're already hyping fucking Glacier. Blood
They've been hyping
cold.
Up Glacier yeah. since Uncensored.
Yeah, and it's funny to hear the rumors, too. I can't remember what they were. I should have wrote them down, the Glacier rumors that were going
like
on.
Like, who was it going to be?
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, it wasn't. It still wasn't known as the Glacier character. It's still the Blood Runs Cold guy.
It's Glacier now.
Okay. Well, it was the first part of, last part of May, first part of June, when it was, like, still the Blood Runs Cold guy. But maybe Dave didn't have his head screwed on straight at that point in time. Who knows?
But hey, if it mentions the word Glacier in it, do they fucking know that it's a wrestler named Glacier?
Who fucking knows?
Like, Blood right? Runs Cold, Cold, Glacier. Okay, you know, tie two and two together. I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah. Let's see here. I did like how Mike Tenay was joining them in commentary for this match, and he does a good job of getting Mysterio and Malenko over.
His historical accuracy is bar none.
So good. When you look at these guys who Dusty commends Tony Schiavone for, what is it, a leg drag takedown or something like
arm
that?
Arm drag takedown or something like that.
Yeah, he commends him for knowing what that move was. So
yeah, and
that's the commentators you're dealing with.
I just can't wait for Tenay to actually be an integral part of the play-by-play yeah. team, where he's not just coming in for the one-off Cruiserweight match. And I got to say, Tyler, since this is Rey Mysterio's WCW debut and we're going to be seeing a lot more of him, can we harken back to Starrcade 1990 with Conan and Rey Mysterio Sr. teaming up?
Oh, wow.
Rey Mysterio Sr. taking a dive, and he landed straight on the fucking staircase?
Yeah, this Rey Mysterio didn't do that.
No, no. No. No, because he's good at what he does.
That's true. That's yeah. very true. Now, there is no relation to Rey Mysterio Sr. and Rey Mysterio Jr., right? They say
uncle.
It's his uncle in this episode, but is that true?
I think that is actually true.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's see here. Malenko, he starts working the arm of Mysterio. I immediately in my head thought, why is he working the arm of Rey Mysterio?
Me too.
So small.
Me too.
He's so tiny.
He relies on his legs.
Why not work the legs?
And poor Rey Mysterio, he does not sell that arm one bit when he makes his comebacks.
No. No, he doesn't.
And, but he is not the Rey Mysterio that we see nowadays.
He isn't, but he still has the flashiness and the moves.
Yeah, I do have to say that Rey Mysterio in 1996 is still very impressive to watch. Yeah. But at the same time, you can really see that guy has really, really improved as like a high-level performer.
Oh, yeah.
With the way that he gets you invested yeah. in how much he sells, and
the space between the notes have gotten a lot more full.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It, definitely.
But this is not an ECW Ray match.
No,
this was not like a human highlight reel match.
No,
but this match was paced very well, and it showcased Ray incredibly well at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And
it did.
I think Dean Malenko is probably one of the more much-needed parts in the Cruiserweight division.
I agree. He's a fantastic base for all these guys.
He's not a high flyer, but he's the guy that – he's like a punisher, you know?
Yep.
Like, he's there to take
this is his division.
Yeah. Like,
he can't be a heavyweight, so he's going to dominate the cruiserweight division with his style.
Yeah.
It's like an X division type deal.
Yeah.
And like, it's almost like what Drew Gulak should be.
I get that. It, I think it's what Gulak tries to be. But I mean, he's no Dean Malenko.
No, Dean Malenko is amazing.
He is. He has more charisma than Dean Malenko ever had. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the work, he is no Dean Malenko. I don't know. They mentioned how Dean had blood on his knee.
I did not see that.
He had blood on his knee during his entrance. I don't know where the fuck he did this. That it was there the whole time. They noticed it halfway through the match.
A little fisticuffs prior to his match. Him and Doug Dillinger going at it.
I got my 1,000-second hold, Doug. You want me to try it out on you?
Three-armed credential.
Let's see here. Mysterio starts, he basically shows the crowd everything he's all about. He goes through all of his, the flips. If I were to sit down here and label everything that Rey Mysterio did in this match, it's not really humanly possible. Lots of Hurricane Ranas, lots of head scissors.
I love the Romero special that Dean Malenko locked in. I just love watching that move being executed. Because it's almost like, oh, is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? No, oh, he got it.
He got it.
Yeah.
This match is probably most highlighted, though, with the senton dive, the springboard senton dive that Rey Mysterio does.
And probably when Dean's going for that stomach block from the top rope and Rey turns it into a Frankensteiner. Yeah. That was a really good
spot.
That
stomach block is a fucking fantastic move when he hits it.
And
Holy fuck.
They have a rematch on Nitro the next night.
Oh, they had one the next night. Because I know that this match happens so much.
It does. It remember that Rey Mysterio box set I bought back in 08,
there's
the
so
biggest
many.
Little man?
There's so
literally,
many,
you get to the WCW portion, and it's like all Dean Malenko matches.
Yeah. It really was. I remember seeing it being like, don't know if I can watch all these Rey Mysterio Dean Malenko matches all in a row.
Oh man, 14-year-old me, not down.
No.
Not down.
I wasn't down for it just because on a DVD box set there should be some kind of variety, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, and at that point, like my favorite luchas in when I was younger would have been like Hoovy and
Psychosis. I love
Ray.
Those guys, yeah.
And I still do, but nowadays it's like, those Dean Malenko matches, they're different. They're really
good. They're great to look back on with today's eyes.
And this probably would have been like a 4-star match.
This was
really
rated 4 stars, actually.
Oh, fair enough. And nowadays, this one held up good. It could still probably be
maybe
3.5.
I think you can give it a 3.5-4-star match. I think so. When you look at like the fanfare, if you had somebody like Rey Mysterio coming into a company to take on a guy, I think the excitement of it could get you up to a 4-star match for sure.
Yeah.
But Malenko, he hits a powerbomb into the corner.
What a powerbomb.
He puts his feet on the ropes and he gets the win. The crowd, they're going rabid by the end of this. They're on their feet.
Quiet to
when
start
it started.
This match.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio really, really got
Rey's
him.
Theme does not feel like it should be Rey's
doom,
theme either.
Doom.
Like these are important
somber.
Things.
Yeah.
Like that is an important thing. You just can't just give someone like a cave music number 9.
Yeah. No. Your theme song is very important. Uberly important. Mean Gene's backstage at Lex Luger. Luger says his mind is a million miles away. It's nothing new. That's all I got out of this.
I also enjoyed this promo, too.
What?
Yeah.
That's after the Giant saying Luger has a brain, and then Luger says, my brain's a million miles away.
I don't know. What I look for, I have low standards on a Lex Luger promo.
I guess so, yeah.
But if he doesn't mess up a word, when he fluidly says his words, you know what, Lex? Good job, buddy. You did it. you made it through. Gold star for you, Lex.
I guess that's one way to look at it. You know who else deserves a gold star? John Tenta for sporting that stupid fucking haircut for
weeks. I'm not a fish. I'm a man. That's a line he said on a Nitro after getting his head shaved. From turning into Shark to John Tenta, he realized he is no fish, but yet a man.
Wow.
Just like in Half-Baked, when that guy goes to prison after killing the horse. He looks in the mirror and he's like, you're not a fish. You're a man. You're a man. And that's immediately what I thought during this entire thing.
I can see where you were coming from. I do.
This fucking god-awful match.
Oh, man. So but you can thank John Tenta, though, for the Skrillex haircut that all the girls like to sport.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I do love that Tenta comes out, no music.
Yeah.
Comes out, and his music, his Titantron video is him getting his head half shaved.
Yes, it is. It is. It's also, it wasn't a Big Bubba's fucking intro video, too.
But that's not even the worst thing that comes out of this match. The end is, like, the most, like, ass backwards fucking thing. Like, shoddy. But do you even want to get into this?
Not really, no.
Big Bubba hit an enziguri at one point.
He did. That was pretty impressive.
Dusty
didn't say a fucking word during the Cruiserweight match, but this is when he came back.
Oh, Big Bubber?
Big Bubber, Garmont.
Yeah,
he's choking him with his own game on.
What did you just say, Dusty?
Game on.
Didn't Tony, he was like, I thought you said something entirely different. He's like, well, I'm talking about a Garmont.
The Garmont.
Fuck. What happened here?
Tenta wins with a body slam. And then
Bubba fell off into Tenta's arms off the top rope for that power slam, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So, fuck. Okay, Tenta grabs those scissors, and he, like, kind of threatens Jimmy Hart, but, like, he goes after Bubba's beard.
Yeah.
And Bubba, like...
He got it!
His beard as if he's got his beard.
Yeah.
But as we later see during the Big Horseman beatdown... In the Benoit and Sullivan match.
Oh, he doesn't have his fucking beard, does he?
His beard is fully there.
Fair enough.
There's no, like, you see close-ups and it's there. Like, nothing's gone.
Good. 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 Good stuff.
Why not just not bring him out, for fuck's sake?
Why not?
Just cut a patch off his goddamn beard.
Yeah, or don't do anything at all with the scissors. You know what I mean? They already cut Tenta's hair. They don't need to cut somebody else's hair.
No, no. This match should have been a 2-minute match for Tenta's redemption. Like,
yeah.
Just have Tenta fucking squash Big Bubba. Fuck.
I agree.
Who needs it?
Up next was, you know, coming hard and coming heavy. But, you know, you got anything to say about this promo?
I just fucking hate Kevin Green so much.
The whole thing was horrible.
Oh, man.
Like, the fact that anybody decided to give Mongo McMichael any time in a ring or...
He was not as good as Kevin Green in the ring.
No, Kevin Green was much more palatable.
But Kevin Green...
He really started to turn into a Mojo Rawley, though.
He's a spaz.
Yeah.
And watching the training montages during the Nitros of him and Mongo in a gym with Macho Man.
Yeah.
Eating Slim Jims as their training food. Like, dude, I gotta tell you, I don't want to see Kevin Green ever in my life, ever again. That Chad with a rat tail.
Oh,
like,
man, it's a beautiful rat tail. Don't say anything bad about that rat tail. It's a beautiful rat tail.
Whatever you say.
Do you have anything to say about Kevin Sullivan's rat tail?
It's coming hard and it's coming heavy.
It is coming hard and it's coming heavy. Right to the men's washroom. But no, he's taking on Chris Benoit in a Falls Count Anywhere match, which is also rated a 4-star match. I wouldn't go that far, but
it was really fun. But
it was fun. I wouldn't call it a 4-star match. But the match.
But to think about it, how often does this happen in 1996?
A Falls Count Anywhere match? Yeah, not very often.
We have seen a Sullivan match that had a bathroom spot in a show that we
watched. Yes, we did. Yeah, where it Jim Duggan happen inside the bathroom.
Yeah. But we didn't see inside the bathroom.
No, we didn't.
It's almost like WCW's like, well, you know.
Go behind the curtain.
We got to elaborate on this one. Of all things to elaborate on, let's elaborate on.
The men's shitter.
A bathroom fight.
The match starts off with a bang. You know, they immediately start brawling into the stands, so it sets the pace and tells you exactly what, you know, we're brawling everywhere. We're not brawling in the ring at all. We're just going to go right outside and right through the fans. And they immediately go to the bathroom.
Yep, straight up.
Yeah, they brawl forever in the bathroom. And Dusty, like we've alluded to, is fantastic in all of this. Just everything he has to say is pure gold. Now, I want to cut to something, but anything else you have to say about this bathroom bit?
The amount of hard shots of that door slamming into Benoit's skull was disturbing for me to watch.
Yeah.
The amount of piss that would have been on Benoit's back after he went onto the floor.
And back knee, that's for sure.
The crawl space bit where he threw paper towels at Benoit was amazing. And Tony Schiavone thought it was a laundry chute.
Yeah.
It was a fucking crawl space. A laundry chute goes down.
Yeah, not in.
So anyways, carry on.
Travis, sometimes this is the perfect time to place this. So sometimes commentators just make you want to hang, shake, or bash your head. Sometimes you just laugh. But by God, this is the art of commentary.
Like a stinger, you know, you ever get hit on the elbow, Tony?
No, never have.
You never been hit on the elbow? Hold that thing up here. Let me knock that.
Wait a second here.
Well, anyway, it stings you down there and you lose your equilibrium for a little while on it, but then it comes back. That's what happened with Scott.
Quite a feather for him to win that U.S.
Spit it out.
Title.
Spit it out. What? Feather in the hat if he wins the title. That's all you had to say. A feather in the hat if you win the title. That's all. That's all.
Not man. Leg drag takedown. How about that?
Oh, the leg drag takedown.
Are we going to repeat each other all night?
No, but I was astonished that you knew what
leg
kind of takedown. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty obvious when you drag the leg.
Move.
Never mind.
Kick him in the back. Kick him in the back again.
He sure did. You may think he's prissy, but for a prissy guy, he has an awfully lethal backhand. Wouldn't you agree? He's not the man of 1,000 holds, but he's half of 1,000 pounds.
You crazy. Sometimes you crazy.
Big Bubba, no trouble. Right on the back of his sweatshirt.
And now he's choking him with his own garment.
His own what?
Garment.
Oh. I wasn't sure what that word was.
Garment.
You said a garment.
Garment.
Towards the concession area, they're in the men's room.
Yeah. Oh, man. What did I say at the onslaught? If you don't get him in the ring, the Taskmaster is in his element in the bathroom, right here in the John, if you will.
I tell you,
There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's John right here in Baltimore. How come you are sitting so close to me?
I remember this one.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You just now noticed that? It's been happening all night.
That might very well be my favorite.
I was just about to say that is probably the best one yet.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is, that has to have been the best.
And I tuned out for half of it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, I mean, the stuff that you missed was the stuff we talked about already.
The fucking elbow
the
bit.
Elbow and yeah, all that bullshit. But Noah, they, you know, they come out of the washroom and Benoit slides down the concrete steps on the way back to the ring.
I loved, they probably had a spot where they left the bathroom area and continued backstage, but they tried to get through the sea of people and they just couldn't fucking do it.
No, they couldn't.
So they just kind of like loitered around the entrance of the bathroom for like a minute.
That's probably then, where the crawl space bit came in.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then they just decided to go back. It kind of felt like they wanted to do something else, but they just kind of stall for time until they're just like, all right, let's just finish.
Yeah. Yeah. No, let's go back to the ring, man. Come on. Let's go. My back's sticky.
Oh, fucking. Then Benoit just tumbles down the stairs.
Still got cut promos after this.
Like, man, Benoit's all over the show and he's getting tossed around. Yeah.
Yeah, no. So they go back inside. We get a superplex from the top rope. He stood on top of a table, on the top rope, which I don't get. I don't know if Sullivan didn't have the balance to.
It's possible, but this whole table thing, like Benoit trying to get that table and his struggle, because they had that laborious. Weird bar,
yeah,
underneath the ring,
yeah.
And Benoit, like, I mean, Dusty even celebrated it when Benoit got the table. He's like, he finally got that table out.
Dusty, I fucking love him. Oh, but Benoit would get the win with the superplex. Arn then comes down. He pulls Benoit off Sullivan. They both start laying the boots to Sullivan.
What a fucking pop.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
The crowd, they love that because it's finally, Arn Anderson is finally coming to his senses.
Yeah.
And he's allowing Benoit. And the promo, I don't have that clip of the promo coming up because it's such a long,
long
promo.
But Arn, like, he cut a good.
Maybe it'll be in the intro.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. I hope I remember that. But the Dungeon of Doom would also come out, and they would send a horseman packing backstage. But I find it hard to believe the Dungeon of Doom is the good guys. You know what I mean? The Dungeon of Doom?
No.
They don't seem like the kind of guys to be chasing the dastardly horseman away. But that's just me. It seems like I put these all in perfect order. I'm loving it. Up next, we have In Progress, Ric Flair backstage with the Horsemen. So, here we go.
Ric Flair.
I just saw two old pros in here with their women decked to the hilt. Now I wonder what they're thinking. McMichael, look at our all-pro defensive tackle. Look at our all-pro linebacker, Kevin Green. Ooh, look at the girls. And look at the mind behind us. Woo!
Bobby, the Brain Heenan. Coach Heenan. That's what they're calling you now back here.
Well, I got a lot of things I'd like to call you. You've insinuated to the people out there and to Savage and everybody else that I'm terrified, that I'm scared to death, and I'm shaken.
Take a look at yourself.
I have looked at myself. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a man, and I know what I'm talking about. My feet are on the ground, and my head's right here. Now, you're trying to put something into his mind to do something to me, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to me.
All right.
A lot of things
Thank you,
that I'm... Macho Man would like to do that he can't do anymore. Right, Liz? Woo! Macho, Green, McMichael, the Horsemen in town. Woo!
Awesome. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Horsemen back together again. Woo! Ladies, please. This is being live on television. Let's get back to the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen. He's always got to talk to the ladies.
I've got to propose that Heenan should have been the J.J. Dillon equivalent to the Horsemen of this run.
Yeah.
He was fitting in so well. Like, spot on.
You want to know something mind-blowing?
Hmm.
This was his debut as a manager in WCW.
Yeah, because he retired because of all the bumps he used to take and he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They on Nitro, they were saying he was coming out of retirement of being a manager, and he would always be like, no, I'm not. I am a coach. But, obviously he is the manager of this. Yeah. And, fuck, he was really, really
a
special manager. Yeah. Just too good, too good.
It's a shame that a lot of people, like, it's not like Bobby Heenan was around to teach people, you know what I mean? Because he didn't really teach somebody the ways of being a manager.
I wouldn't say he did.
Not that I know of, but, man, like, to be able to sit under that learning tree would just be fantastic.
The best.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame that it just can't happen now.
For and it couldn't have happened.
No.
With all of his problems that he had, he couldn't have taught.
No.
And it's such a shame because he was probably the best heel manager of all time.
Made a living with his voice, and by the time he died, he had no voice at all.
What a fucking sad story. It is.
But let's get away. Well, actually, we'll try to get away from sad. But
it's pretty hard. Mean Gene's on every second fucking segment.
That's true. Lord Steven Regal takes on Sting. I was a fan of this match. I was a fan more of Regal. Honestly,
I like seeing Regal have the entire advantage for about a 15-minute to 18-minute match.
Yeah, Regal, at one point in time at the beginning, he decided that the crowd wasn't hot enough. So he went outside and just started egging on the fans.
Yeah, and he got some heat.
By the time he got back into that ring, man, the crowd was just, they were booing him. They were eating him up.
And it's nice to see Regal getting a high-profile match, which is very rare.
Yeah.
And I think other than that, the biggest highlight for me in this match was Regal's weird, strange dance that he used to do when he got the advantage over Sting. It was kind of like a Public Enemy kind of shuffle.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. My favorite thing would be when he was doing the whole urn thing where he's going.
And that's it.
But when he's going down.
Like the Aloha spot.
Yeah. But instead he's like, I can't do what Urn does. And so he looks at Brian Hildebrand. He throws up the fisticuffs like he's going to punch him. And then he goes down. Oh, it's so good. And that was after Sting decided to give him a little pelvic thrust there to throw in some Nancy sissy boys.
Yeah, sissy or prissy, you know.
Sissy or prissy, yeah. And then we get a shitty STF that Sting doesn't sell at all. He just puts his head down and you don't see no emotion, no nothing. Just no sells the fuck out of it. Regal just lets go out of frustration, I guess. And then he starts punching Sting, who then wakes up, a.k.a. another coke drop, or drip, whatever you want to call it. He then runs wild, applies a Scorpion Deathlock, and gets the win.
There ain't no worse submission hold in the wrestling industry than the Scorpion Deathlock locked in by Sting.
Yep.
The weakest submission.
He just sits on their bum. I'm going to go bum to bum.
He sits on their thighs.
Yeah, it's Bret Hart had a good one for a while. Of course, his really let go after a while. But when somebody wrenches down on the lower back, that's when it looks good.
Well, as I always said, Owen does a good one. Yeah. And Natty, she does it justice. Like,
yeah,
it's not one of the Rock shitty ones.
No.
Benoit did an okay one, but he didn't sit down enough for me.
No, I agree. I would like for somebody to bring it back and actually do it justice.
Fuck. You got the Hart Foundation in MLW. I feel like that's a perfect spot for it.
Yeah. I mean, you got Brian Pillman, who I wouldn't saddle it with Brian Pillman. I don't know. Maybe. Teddy Hart can't, because Teddy Hart does all this other crazy shit. And like, you
Smith
watch,
is already the Bulldog's son. He's
exactly,
the powerhouse.
Exactly. But you got Hart. It was like, you watch him on these MLW shows, and it's like, he does all this crazy stuff, never fucks up.
Really, he's been doing ever. That crazy stuff for so long.
But he's never fucked it up, really, unless you count, like, the dive off of the cage.
That was just a risky fucking spot.
But like, he never fucks up. It's crazy. I'm really happy that in 2019 we have Teddy Hart on a weekly television show.
It's weird.
I'm so stoked.
I never thought
that
would happen after Wrestling Society X.
Yeah, I agree. And to have it as a mini Hart Foundation.
Yeah, yeah. And this was supposed to happen in like 07 or 08.
With Kid.
The initial one would have been Natty, Teddy, and Harry Smith.
Oh, okay.
But then Teddy Hart got kicked out of OVW or whatnot.
Yeah.
Harry Smith went up by himself. Shit got fucked up.
Wasn't Tyson Kidd with him too?
2 years later.
Oh.
Yeah, they took Harry Smith off TV and then brought him back with Tyson Kidd and Natty.
Oh, fair enough. I didn't know he was up there before because I wasn't watching.
You didn't miss much.
No, I didn't. But it's time now for the Legends of the Gridiron to take on the Legends of World Championship. Or, sorry, Legends of the World of Wrestling. That's what Bruce Buffer says. But, I mean, we know how I stand. I think that this match, McMichaels and Green should never be in the wrestling ring.
This match was on the Best of the Great American Bash VHS that I owned
as
a kid.
How blows my mind. Really does.
Yeah. I don't know. There was a lot of 3-point stances.
There was.
You know, Arn Anderson reversing one with a drop toe hold was pretty great.
Yeah.
Flair booting the brainless skull of Kevin Green during the 3-point stance was also fucking great.
Ric Flair had some great little
Ric Flair made bits. Mongo look like $1 million.
He did.
He made Kevin Green look like $1 million too. And that's just showing you how great Flair is, obviously.
That's one thing about Flair. Flair was never afraid to make somebody look good, unlike guys like Hogan.
And the big thing about this feud is that Flair has been literally flirting with Mongo's wife for weeks.
Yes.
Mongo, every right to be
started at the Slamboree.
Slamboree, yeah, that's when this whole thing started, exactly. And at one point, what happens? A woman and Liz chase Tara Green and Deborah McMichael to the back.
Yeah.
And we don't see them for quite a while, and that's where Arn and Flair essentially get the advantage over them. And Green does a couple fucking real stiff tackles. Like, dude, his tackles look like they are snug.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a football player. You can't take the instinct out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not that fast, anyways.
Mm-hmm. And I think the best spot that I could attribute Mongo and Green having together would be Green being the legal man and being Irish, or he's Irish whipping Flair. Flair does his flip over the post spot, walking onto the apron, and he walks into a boot from Mongo on the apron. I thought that was actually like a really well-timed spot between Green and Mongo.
Yeah.
Albeit, as I previously mentioned, that you got Flair doing this spot. Which, it's easy for Flair to do this kind of shit and make everyone look great.
It is.
But at that point, what happens? I'm pretty sure Macho Man gets involved when Flair and him are doing a figure four assist.
That's when Chris Benoit comes down.
Yeah, and then the women come down.
Yes, and by women we mean Miss Elizabeth Woman and Deborah McMichaels in a dress and the Halliburton briefcase.
Mm-hmm. And that's when Mongo talks to his wife ringside while Kevin Green is locked in a figure four.
Yes.
He's got it reversed at this point. Like, it's in his favor. But Mongo is talking to his wife. She opens up the briefcase. It's got a Four Horsemen shirt and a ton of money.
$100,000 cash.
$100,000 cash. Mongo contemplates it, and Kevin Green is looking at him. He's begging him not to take it, not to take it. He closes that briefcase, and he fucking whaps him on the back of the back of his head. And Flair takes the pin, and he wins. So we got the legit Four Horsemen now.
Yeah.
And you may have hated that match, but that was a good finish. Like, that was a solid finish.
Oh, yeah. No, I got nothing against it. I understand putting Mongo and Michael in the Four Horsemen because of the whole football aspect. He's a pure athlete in that sense. He has the status of being a rich guy.
And he's so charismatic.
He is charismatic. I will give you that. He is charismatic. But as a worker, man, he would never live up to being in the Horseman ever.
I definitely agree with that. And you know, as you would expect, we get a big Horseman beatdown. Macho Man gets hit with a Halliburton briefcase, and as I said earlier, with Heenan in there egging them on, he fits so well in this group.
He does. He would have been a great addition.
It would have been perfect to have, like, not with Mongo, but with someone else in place of Mongo, for them to face off against the NWO.
Yeah, like, they were pretty pigeonholed with having McMichael there.
Yeah, but with Heenan being the guy and Bischoff being the guy facing off against each other.
Which was a place they never went. And why they never went that route to have like a
boggles my mind.
It's
especially when they got Dean Malenko in that group.
Yeah.
And you could have done like, what? Okay, you'd have done Hall, Nash, Hogan, and Six against Arn, Rick, Benoit, and Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
That would have been
gangbusters,
man.
Yeah, it would have been fantastic, but it's those things that they never ever pulled the trigger on. And if they did, they did it in such a fashion that it was not memorable.
I would have preferred that to have been the Starrcade 96 main event over Roddy Piper and Hogan.
Oh, easily.
And they could have done that in between July and December.
Thanks for reminding me where we were going, by the way. To that
no problem.
Farce.
97 is a much better year in those big ways.
Yeah. No, there's much more going on there. So at this point in time now, this is where Bischoff comes out to confront Hall and Nash, the two without names.
The invaders.
Yes. So Eric comes out. He says, you know, we got to We've all heard it. This promo has happened so many times.
This is highlighted, ubiquitous.
Yes,
promo.
Yes,
famous. Like, I even dabbled thinking of using the jackknife as a gift to promote the fucking episode, but
you might as well.
Yeah. But it's the most famous thing to compare with this show.
It really is.
Rey Mysterio debut.
Yeah. No, I agree. Eric comes out. He says that they have a match at Bash at the Beach, but he needs to know if they still work with the WWF.
The F got censored on the network.
Yes. And, you know, it like we said, this is due to the legal proceedings going on with the likeness violations.
They don't work for the WWF, they say.
Yeah, they say they don't. They say they don't, and obviously, they don't. They work for a balding blonde dude. And they work for the man they're talking to right now.
Technically, they work for Hogan and Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, I guess because he's the bankroll.
Yeah, he's the guy that's funding the money.
Yeah, that's right. So
DiBiase is out of the WWF at this point.
Oh yeah, he would be coming pretty soon, I believe.
Because Beware of Dog was his last day.
It was even in one of the observers that I read that he was coming in to be the bankroll or something like that, or like that. I don't know if they were saying that it would happen, but it was. It would be cool. Like they're saying it would be a good idea to have DiBiase come in and be the bankroll. But let's take a listen into this you know, ubiquitous Hall and Nash promo.
You want a match? You want a war? You want it inside of the ring? You're gonna get it.
I fell into the trap, big man. Okay.
Hold on. I got couple considerations here. Before we go a whole lot further, I will tell you it'll be at Bash at the Beach, July 7th in Daytona.
Hold on.
Before we go any further, let's clear one thing up. Do you work for the WWE?
No.
How about it?
Bass.
No.
Yeah. Bass. Yes.
Forget about the past, Chico. Let's worry about the future. We want to know who your three guys are. Is it the Nacho Man? I don't think so.
What about the
Immortal Huckster?
Yeah.
You know,
straight
you
up, those are two
Ted
billionaire
to break out the money and get anybody you can.
They even use Scheme Gene on the first
big
episode.
Mang,
yeah.
And the medium-sized Mang. And our
the
surprise
big Mang
buddy
and the medium-sized Mang
yeah.
are going to carve
yeah, it is good.
Them.
What got cut off was the up.
Yeah. Great promo.
It is.
And, Bischoff won't tell them who the three participants are in that match, so Scott Hall gut punches him pretty fucking pretty cheaply.
Yeah, and then Nash jackknifes him off the ramp through a table.
Great. Great stuff.
This causes everybody to put on their pre-Owen Hart voices.
Mm-hmm. Very solemn yeah. scene. He's only there to interview, and Tony Schiavone leaves Dusty Rhodes by himself.
Who cuts a great little promo, though.
I was shocked. I thought Dusty would have said something so stupid, but he just owned it.
He talks about how, you know, they want a war. We're going to get them a war, and we're gonna get our three men, and we're going to have a war. I planned on having it close out the show, but it's a great promo. I fucking loved it. And it's a great way to just to signal where they're going from here. It's not a turning point, but it's you look at it and you can see that this company is now, this is a shift.
This ain't the Black Scorpion.
No.
This ain't anything that they've done before. This ain't Hulk Hogan coming in with Shaquille O'Neal and fucking Dennis Rodman and Mr. T. They've finally got something that feels very big. Yeah. And you watch it and you can actually kind of feel that energy even watching it now, how special it is. I don't know if I'm talking crazy.
No.
But when I watch it, I can feel like, fuck, there's something big going on, and I can't wait to see what goes on next.
There's an energy there, you know, just like a little bit of an electricity that you feel, you know, like,
and
you're,
especially
you're watching, you're excited.
That Falls Count Anywhere match, that Cruiserweight match, everything just building up on this show just makes this feel like WCW's finally got their shit together.
Like, this is the first true cruiserweight match we've gotten that was like what we feel today.
This ain't Brad Armstrong and Dean Malenko, yeah.
No, this is the cruiserweight division that we were, you know, clamoring to see, you know, going back to do this timeline. And now it's turning into the heavyweight division that, you know, really made WCW what it was in 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's there's nothing else to really say, but it's
we'll save it all for the next WCW venture when it comes to the rest of the Outsiders story.
Of course, we've got Bash at the Beach, which will be our next WCW show, and that is when they have the third member.
Yeah, one of the biggest shows of all time, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'll say that. And then this brings us to the main event, which is the Giant taking on Lex Luger for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship match. Now, I would have loved to have finished this episode talking about Hall and Nash, but they had to do this.
Well, it sums up WCW very well. The great, great mid-card and the not-so-stellar main event.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take anything away from this match because it's not good, but there's heat.
Yeah.
And the Giant's very slow. Lex Luger's got a lot of fire in the match.
The fans do like Lex Luger. They're behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I will say this. How the Giant went from in Uncensored having a prelim match against Loch Ness to being world champion blows my mind.
Well, he just beat Ric Flair on Nitro randomly.
The next night.
Yeah. And now he's undefeatable. Like, no one will stop the Giant.
No. It's fucking just bad. Throughout this match, you got Dusty saying that the ambulances is going around, and it's a shocking scene going on. They're not really paying much attention to the match, obviously, because it's a boring as fuck match.
Yeah, it's so slow.
It is.
There's nothing
happening. There isn't. There's nothing. Jimmy Hart tries to club Luger with a megaphone, but Luger's tag team partner Sting comes to his aid and chases Hart backstage.
No face paint on whatsoever.
No, it's all worn out from his match. He had a vigorous 10, 20, 30 minute run down
off
Regal.
Now. It's Mrs. Steve Borton.
He had to turn Regal
straight. I don't know who this man was that came down, but it was not Sting.
So it's not Sting.
No.
Tony Schiavone then claims that the Giant has been working Luger's neck. I meant that. Oh.
Was that supposed to be in the art of commentary?
It was supposed to be an audio clip that I was going to make, and I totally forgot about it. Basically, what it was, I'll give it away now. Tony Schiavone claims that the Giant has been working Luger's neck, back, and then I was going to insert Missy O's pussy
in
my
crack. Yeah.
Oh, man. But the Giant would end up winning with a choke slam, after this lackluster, boring effort.
Well, there was a cool spot where Giant missed a big splash in the corner and he gets stuck on the top rope, lying down. So Luger tries to get him up for the torture rack in this position. And I think just the crowd reaction alone for Luger trying to accomplish this feat of strength was really cool.
Yeah.
And he collapsed, and yeah, the Giant obviously won. But yeah, I thought that was worth noting.
Yeah, no, I get you. There has to be a high point in the match, right? But you could also tell that they were obviously pressed for time with how fast they signed off. Like, Giant gets the pin 1, 2, 3. Tony Schiavone literally is just like, okay, thank you very much for watching. This is WCW Bash at BC 1996.
Yeah.
It's done. And that was the show. It was, you know, don't let the lackluster main event fool you. The show was actually very fun.
Yeah,
it's worth the watch going through. You know, this brings us right into it. Travis, what are some of your scores for this show?
Well, number one, bathroom brawling.
Okay. Yep.
That would be my biggest score.
I get you.
I would say number two would be some gut punching. And some coming hard and coming heavy.
Yeah. I would say some of my scores, Rey Mysterio and Malenko obviously has to be a score. And Regal's facials for sure. And obviously the start of the NWO.
Boers, Big Bubba.
And John Tenta. Yeah, horrible. And everything, in my opinion, Mongo and Green. Fucking hated it. Hated it.
Ice Train.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, you could say that. Sores.
Oh, God. Coming hard, coming heavy.
He will be sore after coming hard and coming heavy.
And I'm pretty sore that they never ever did anything about Bobby Heenan and the Four Horsemen.
That's fair. I would go with Sting's homophobic promo and God Awful main event.
Yep. Word. That's, definitely.
That would be my sores. Before we get out of here, we've got to run down our next show, which is going to be WWF King of the Ring 1996.
Owen Hart on commentary.
Is he really on commentary the whole show?
Oh, yes.
I didn't know he was on commentary the whole show. But in this King of the Ring tournament, I'm not going to go through all the matches. That'll spoil
everyone knows who wins.
Well, no, I mean like just every match. There's Mero, Steve Austin, Jake Roberts, Vader, with obviously Steve Austin coming out victorious with the Austin 316 promo. So it's another monumental show. Well, it's not so much monumental, but Steve Austin's career
monumental
really starts
here. Looking back.
Yeah.
Not at the time.
No.
At all.
No, not at all. Then you
have kind of like a cult film that did shit at the box office, but eventually gained a reverie with fans.
Yeah, I see
like
that.
The Big Lebowski.
Yep, Dazed and Confused, all kinds of movies.
Starship Troopers.
Yeah, the fucking thing plays on TV all the time, and I hate that movie so much.
It's not good.
No,
Denise
World
Richards is in it though.
That's true. That's true. That's all anybody ever cared about that movie. World Tag Team Title match with the Smoking Guns taking on the Godwins. Sonny is with the Smoking Guns at this
point.
She's
a cowgirl now. Yeah.
She is. And then we have Jerry Lawler taking on the Ultimate Warrior. Mankind taking on the Undertaker. Goldust taking on Ahmed Johnson for an Intercontinental title. That's going to be awesome. And then we have the main event of Shawn Michaels taking on the British Bulldog.
Special referee, Mr. Perfect.
Yes, yes, for the WWF World Heavyweight title.
Which should probably be the best match of the night.
Oh, it got more stars than anything on tonight did. Which, you know, I expect it to be a really good match.
But you know what? It's got some big moments. The debut of Brian Pillman is on this show.
Yep.
Owen Hart on commentary, as I said. So if you're a fan of Owen Hart, like I am, I'm sure you'll have a fun time with that. Yeah. He's a very witty fucking character. So,
and it's King of the Ring 96. It's one of those shows that people like to look
back
on.
It's always a fun-paced show.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So,
and this also features the Hardy Boys as the fucking door openers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that was this.
It's
this
either one. 94 or 96, and I'm pretty sure it's 96.
94 or 96. One of the
They'd be really young for 94.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, though, I want to give a shout out to, again, our Patreon subscribers and PayPal's donations. Ty Loney, Dallas Ellingsworth, Chris Savage, Christopher Spaulding, Big Body Sam, and Viva Legiti. You're all fine in my books. Thank you guys very much.
And there'll be some more Patreon exclusives coming up after the holidays.
Yeah.
Since New Year's and Christmas and Ramadan and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah are all over with now.
You got to celebrate them all?
Yeah, you get back. Well, I went to a Fiji Christmas party. That was weird.
You did.
Fell
you did.
Off of a staircase two times.
Twice.
Off of a staircase, not downstairs. Off of stairs.
Let that sink in, guys. Twice. Now, Travis, you can follow us on Twitter, which I didn't mention at the beginning, the Federation, at the Federation.
You can follow me on Twitter at FudgingUp333.
You can buy our t-shirts, which I also didn't talk about, at whatamaneuver.net. You can donate to us on PayPal at just Federation Podcast, thefederationpodcast@gmail.com, or just go to, I don't know if you can on our website. I got rid of the Fug Club. So
but you can subscribe to us on Patreon.
For $1, $5, $25, $50, or $100. They're all different tiers. I'm not going to explain them. Go to the Patreon. It's in the link in the bio. So go for it. Go there or not. I don't really
slightly
care.
Slightly be square.
Slightly be obtuse. But Travis, keep on rocking Free World and...
Doot-doot-loot-doot.
I'm coming hard. I'm coming heavy.
I'll tell you what. We're the big boys play at WCW. So much has been said about our situation. People coming in, people going. But coming in here with Eric Bischoff, like him or not, bottom line right here and driving him off the stage into a table. That's uncalled for. So they wanted a wall. They talk about, let's have a wall. You get three guys, we get three guys. Well, I'm an old man, guys. Let me tell you something. The bottom line in this situation here, there are plenty of guys at WCW that will be ready for this wall right here. What a scene we have seen here at the Great American Bash.